Hey, everybody. Welcome back for season two of the Broken Banquet Podcast. This season, we've got more interviews with missionaries around the world, more interviews with authors who have written amazing books about missions, and more conversations about what it means for us to abide with one another. And yes, probably a story or two about Ashley taking a walk, eating food, or having drinks with someone who she now loves. We're so glad you're back. We're glad to be back. And we hope that you will enjoy this episode.
I lost my pillow. Uh-oh. Hang on. Got it. My back.
We have to make sure everybody's comfortable for this podcast. I've got my foot up. Yeah. I've got Band-Aids on and a little bit of ice.
Because missional relationships are all about comfort.
I mean,
top road. About us being comfortable. Yes. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Will.
How are
it's
you?
It's been a long time. A long, long time.
It hasn't been that
long. I mean, I feel like we're not connected right now. I need a little bit more connection with my Will Bailey.
Well, I'm not sure anybody has ever said that out loud before, but have you just got a lot going on? Yeah. Like, what's going on with you these days, Ashley?
We have alluded to it, but in January/February of this year, and we're currently on May 16th, I interviewed with another church in another city, in another state, and I have said yes to that position. So I will be transitioning soon to the Woodlands Methodist Church in the Woodlands, Texas, as their pastor of missions. And so the last few months have been all about, oh my goodness, I'm uprooting my family, I'm uprooting my friends, I'm uprooting everyone. There's transitions.
I'm selling a house. I'm buying a house.
Farewell tour to see missionaries and people I love all over the world. But I am currently sitting in Conroe, Texas, in a brand new house that I bought last week, and the movers came on Tuesday, and today is Thursday, and I do say, I showed you a video, I think I'm pretty well set.
It looks very nice. It looks very welcoming. You've got lots of space for missionaries to come and stay with you, which we will be taking you up on that as soon as possible. But hey, really quickly, because you mentioned health issues. Yeah. And in the episode that aired, I think, 3 weeks ago, which was our interview with Larry Dempsey.
Yes.
You mentioned at the beginning of that interview that you fell out of bed.
Oh, my goodness.
You were still kind of dealing with, like, what the heck happened? Do you have any more information for our readers who I'm sure our listeners who are dying to know what the heck happened? Are you good? Are you ready to run a marathon? Are you ready to play soccer? What's going on?
Well, I totally forgot all about that. It was a blur that we recorded that episode while I was in Thailand with our Russian friends, our New Zealand friends, and the guest on our podcast today. But yes, I had indeed fallen out of bed, fallen down, and it turns out I broke my foot. Now, even more fun than that is our sweet, wonderful mission partner named Nate Hutchison, who is from New Zealand, who has been on this podcast 3 times. He might have kicked some elephant dung on me, which might have gotten into the wounds on my foot, and which may have infected my foot so much so that I think last night I was running a fever, and maybe it did break in the middle of the night. But I think I am due a visit to the doctor for a follow-up when I get back to the Shreveport.
Yeah.
These are stories.
Way to go, Nate.
Nate, I hope you're listening, and I hope you have no guilt at all whatsoever. It could have happened to anyone. Anyone could have kicked elephant dung on me.
Nate, if this winds up being the last episode I ever record of the Broken Banquet Podcast, it's all your fault.
But we did have a great trip. It was a beautiful trip. I was thankful to spend time with the Russians, with the New Zealanders, and to have that kind of quality time with them.
Yeah. So, okay, so now fast forward 3 weeks later, yep. And you are sitting in a new house in the Houston, for those of us who are geographically challenged, yes. In the Houston area, yes. Of Texas.
Yes, Northwest Houston.
And when is your actual, like, move date, start working date? Like, when do those things happen?
Well, I'll go back to Shreveport on Saturday, celebrate Pentecost, which will be great. I'll be in Shreveport until June 9th, which is when I will go meet you and our favorite Boone family from Uganda.
You know,
spend some time.
Can't wait.
Spend some time with you all. And then I will come back on June 19th. Have annual conference. We're hosting annual conference at our church the 20th through 22nd. And my last Sunday will be on June 23rd. And I'll even preach on that Sunday, which is quite exciting. And we'll probably pack up our things from our temporary housing and move down on June 24th and start at the Woodlands proper on July 1st.
Well, I was going to try and say something out of recognition of the amount of emotions that I'm sure will be felt on that last Sunday. I don't think I could get through that sermon, but I'm sure you're going to do incredible, like you always do.
I have a lot of questions about that and am still reserving my right to say, I don't think I can do this, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens. I have, I've outlined out that sermon, and it's almost...
Wait, stop. Yeah. You said you've sloughed out that sermon? What does that mean exactly?
You know, rough drafted it out.
Okay.
These are my words I come up with, yes.
Sloughing.
So I sloughed out my sermon. And it's almost as if it's a Paul-esque letter to Shreveport, to the Shreveport church. A Philippian style versus maybe, you know.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, is this like a Galatians kind of letter? Okay. Philippians. Well, that's nice. I'm sure they'll be glad. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Joy. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. So, well, I know this is, there's a lot going on. I know there's a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. I know you are excited about this next chapter and the opportunity that you've been given to come alongside this new church and the partners that they have. And I can't wait to see the things that they're going to learn from you and that you're going to learn from them. And all that stuff is super, super exciting. I know it's also hard. To be doing this sort of a farewell tour and all that kind of stuff. My guess is that one of the things that is making all of this just a little bit easier for you, mm-hmm. is the fact that our guest today happens to be the person who is going to be coming the new, what are they going to call it?
Global Missions Director. Director of Global Missions.
The new director of global missions at First Methodist Church Shreveport, who happens to be a dear friend of yours and a dear friend of ours and all the other missions partners. So you know that you are leaving us and these relationships and the church in incredibly capable and loving hands. Vicky,
yes.
Welcome. Welcome to the Broken Banquet Podcast.
Thank you, Will and Ashley. I'm so glad to be here.
Ashley, would you like to do a proper introduction?
Well, I would. I would. I first met Vicky many, many years ago, at least 10, maybe 11 years ago. And one thing that I loved about Vicky was her contagious joy. She immediately fills every room she walks into with a beautiful, bright smile and this joy of Christ exuding from her spirit. It was easy to be drawn to her because of her love that she so freely shares with everyone she meets. She joined the Global Mission Committee pretty early. And I'll even say before that, I knew Vicky and loved Vicky because I worked with Vicky. She's the accounts payable person in our business office at First Methodist Church. So she and I knew each other from the very beginning.
And that's one of the reasons why all of your global missions partners love Vicky, because Vicky signs the checks.
That's exactly right. She makes sure you all get paid every quarter. And we'll come back to that actually in a couple of minutes. But okay. I just want to say that heart, the heart that Vicky had is something that draws everyone to her. And then couple that with the fact that she very quickly wanted to be involved with global missions, specifically in our Haiti ministry. And I believe that was her first mission trip as she came to Haiti. Then soon after that, she was on the committee. So she came to Russia. And then soon after that, we hosted she came to Costa Rica. And then with her husband, she came to Italy to host the mission partner retreat that we did. The great thing about Vicky is she's not only a member of the committee, she not only is the person who knows our global missions budget inside and out, but she also has a personal relationship with each of our mission partners already.
Yeah.
So when it came time to hire someone to fill the director of global mission position, it was easy. It was very easy. There was no one else. It was Vicky. Our committee agreed about that, and our staff agreed.
And your missionaries, at least we did. I remember when you first mentioned to me that was one of the possibilities, we were just like, oh, please, please let it be Vicky. Please let it be Vicky. Please let it be Vicky. Yeah. So what a relief for us, you know, those of us who are also engaged in these relationships with you all, to know that sort of transition, that handoff of the position is going to be to someone who already knows and loves and is in relationship with us, that we're not going to have to start over again from square one, building a relationship with someone who has no idea who we are, what we do, and what we're about. So it was a huge relief for us.
So that's Vicky. That's my sweet, lovable Vicky Lynn. And I'm so thankful she said yes.
Well, is it my turn to talk?
Sure.
I guess.
Well, you know, I just want to say that was really nice. Those are really nice things you said. Makes me tear up just a little bit. I'm going to be honest, because it's, you know, been an emotional ride the last few months. And we've got a couple more months to get through this emotional ride. But great things are happening. I'm so excited for y'all's trip coming up. I'm super excited for y'all. Y'all are going to have the best time, but I'm just stoked about it. I can't wait to see pictures and text and all that fun stuff. So, yeah.
We did try to figure out how it would come.
We did. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on at the church. And so I probably need to, I need to stay put and work through the rest of the stuff to get this transition.
Right, because one transition is you leaving accounts payable to come to director of missions, but you're also going to be trading up the person who comes into the accounts payable position. So
correct. And we're still looking for someone. If you know of anybody listening to this podcast that may live in the Shreveport, Louisiana area,
who wants to write checks to missionaries?
Yes. Well, there's more checks to write, but those are really important. You have to know those are really important. My job. I love my job. But I love also the job that I'm going to be doing July 1st.
And so, I mean, Ashley, you mentioned the trip that's coming up. Vicky, you acknowledged the trip that's coming up. And I just think it's so amazing that not only, I was telling somebody who we have a group of volunteers that are here right now. And one of them was asking what we were going to South Africa for. And I was like, oh, we're just going to spend time with another missionary family. They're like, what? And so I got to talk a little bit about how important that kind of time spent together and abiding with one another is to your church, and how incredible you all have been of giving us opportunities to do that kind of thing. But then the fact that, Vicky, you are as excited about the fact that we are going to do it as we are about going to do it. Like, to me, that's just, that runs so deep, you know, that you recognize how important that time is going to be for my family, for the Boone family, and to have Ashley there with us. It just means a lot to us, that recognition. And I could see the wheels turning like this person that I was talking to was just like, she was like, that's not normal. I was like, no, it's not normal at all. You know, most people, that's not, you talk to most churches about engaging in missional relationships. This is not the first thing that comes to mind. You hope that eventually they'll get to a point where it is completely normal, but it's not ordinary. And we're just so thankful that we get the opportunity because of this partnership to do things like that, that are just so life-giving to us as a family. Like I have my, on my phone, when I unlock my phone, I have the little United app widget on there. And so it just, it has a number and it's the number of days until my trip. And so, you know, Isabella asks me, how many more days is it? I'm constantly telling Yolanda how many more days it is. And we're just so trying to enjoy the season we're in right now, which is exciting. We've got a lot of teams coming down to be a part of what's going on here this summer, but also just cannot wait to have that time with them in that place. So thanks to both of you for that gift.
Well, I'm going to live vicariously through y'all while you're there. I will, and I'll think about you every day and pray for you every day that you'll have an amazing time, which I know you will. I've been on retreats with both of you before, and I know it is very fulfilling, and you abide with each other, and it's just a wonderful experience. So, yeah, I'm excited for y'all.
Vicki, do you want to talk just a little bit about your story of who you are and how you came to have this love? What cultivated this love for missions?
Well, I would have to say that my first mission trip cultivated the love. You know, we had heard a lot about Haiti at our church back in, I guess, 2016, 2017. And we were transitioning you into global mission director at that time, or sometime around that time before that, actually. During that time, we started seeing all these pictures of these kids at this orphanage, Derivage. And I told my husband, I said, Eric, you know, I really want to sponsor a child. And so I told Ashley, I sent her an email, and I said, Ashley, I want to sponsor a child. And in my head, I'm thinking, you know, oh, it's going to be this little girl with bows in her hair, you know, and I can send bows and ribbons and all these things because I have two daughters. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, Ashley sends me an email back and she says, how do you feel about 16-year-old boys or 14-year-old boys? Well, I don't know much about them. And she said, he likes soccer. Okay, well, I guess I just need to practice up on my soccer and figure out what's going on with that. And I just went all in. I said, you know, God put this there. He put that there for a reason, so I'm going for it. And so Lenev was my sponsor child in Haiti. And 2 years into sponsoring him, I realized that I needed to go see him. I needed to hug him because I'm a huge hugger. That's one of my favorite things to do. And I knew that I had to go see him. And I told Eric, I said, we've got to meet Lenev. We have to. And so in November of 2018, here we go. And we plan a trip to Haiti. Or no, it was 2017. I'm a year off because we were supposed to go back in 2018. Right. So 2017, went and met Lenev. We had a little bit of rain. We had a lot of cool little circumstances that went on. But, you know, we had a great time. And the first time I saw his face was just, it was just wonderful. It was amazing. And it was everything I thought it would be. So what a blessing it was for us to be able to do that. That's where it all began.
And I appreciate that too, because one thing that you love and value so very much is relationships. That's something that from the first moment I met you to now that shines through you, and it's one of the core values of who you are. And so once you agreed to be part of the sponsorship, you wanted to put a face with the name and to actually be there in person, ministry of presence. And that has continued through so many of our ministries that you walked through.
Yeah. So that we did that. And in 2018, you know, we had, you know, a wonderful plan in November to go back. And there was a lot of things going on in Haiti at that time. So it didn't happen. And then 2019, enter Russia, a trip to Russia. And all Ashley had to tell me was, oh, by the way, while we're there, when we're planning it, there's going to be an Emmaus walk. And I was like, what? And Eric and I were just, it didn't take anything else. We were on board, like, let's go. We're all in. And away we go to Russia in July of 2019. So that was an amazing trip. It was before, you know, everything shut down. So it was really wonderful to be there before, you know, we had no idea what was coming the following year, honestly. So to be able to go there and just, oh, spend time with Olga and Igor and, you know, just all the people in Russia are just, they're amazing. They're amazing people. And wow, our buckets were full, you know, just love and just, oh, anyway. And so that was our next mission trip, which that's a pretty big deal. So I feel really honored that God laid that in our path for that year prior to all the things going on now.
Ashley, I think we need to back up just a little bit, and maybe you can speak to this, because one of the things that we've talked about before in previous episodes is the idea of child sponsorship, right, as a model for missional engagement. Sure. And we've talked, acknowledged some of the pitfalls that come along with that. We've interviewed people who are in ministries that are intentionally moving away from that model into family restoration models. So I think in order to not just leave people kind of scratching their heads, can you talk a little bit about what the relationship between First Methodist and Derivage and the people there and the way that you guys have been involved with that ministry, just to kind of clear up any confusion that maybe people might have at this point about that in particular? Is that another picture? What did you hang the pictures in your new house with? Because that's three of them that have fallen since we've been on this call.
Gosh, something has happened. It's really weird too, because the wind is blowing so bad and it's raining so hard. And the realtor put a flower arrangement on the front door, and it keeps knocking on the front door. So, well, that's a great question, and I'm really glad you asked that. I was going to bring it around at the end to show after we went on all of the trips that Vicky had gone on. I was going to bring it back to the end, because that's something that she was a pivotal part of from beginning to end of this ministry in Haiti. In 2013, when I arrived at First Methodist Church, the big partnership that First Methodist had was in Haiti. And they were working with a children's home called Derivage and another one called Big House at the time. When I came in, I had a lot of workings with the Big House leadership, and I was not comfortable with that. So we automatically put that partnership aside and focus solely on Derivage to try to improve our relationship, strengthen that bond. And one of the things that we learned, and y'all can go back to Kay Ferguson's episode a few weeks ago, but one of the things that we learned was that we needed to stop thinking that we knew everything and how it should be in Haiti, and start listening to the leaders that were there every day, who knew the culture, who knew the community, who knew the kids, and knew the needs. And so for the first couple of years, that's all we did. We would go down and visit with Pastor Majerard and his wife, Mimi. We got to know them immensely well, had lots of conversations around tables, and we made a point of whoever went down with us that we were only there to ask questions and to learn. We're not doing anything without it being our Haitian partners' ideas. And so they are the ones that I think sponsorship is an easy thing. That's something that everybody does, from Compassion to World Vision. And so that was a natural thing for the Majerards to bring up, was this one-on-one partnership. And it made it easy. It was so easy for me to help raise money for the projects that Pastor Majerard would create and come up with, because we had this partnership, or we had this sponsorship program that sponsors could help the children by helping children's home. I think that over time, what we continued to do was try to build relationships between our church and the community there in Derivage. Relationships actually happen. And so I loved going and seeing the kids, and they would ask about people that they knew at our church, and the adults at our church would always ask about the kids.
So I did feel like it was creating a lot of relationship between the Shreveport church and this church community in Haiti. As time continued, and especially with COVID happening and then all of the things happening in Haiti, we moved away from that sponsorship because I felt like we couldn't sustain the relationship piece of it. And then the more that we learned about child sponsorship and what that looked like, and the more that we've talked to Faith to Action and Stephanie Robinson, we got together as a committee and talked about what does it look like to help the Mongerards reunite families. And so that's been a big part of, I would say, the last 8 months, is that our committee, Pastor Mongerard and his wife Nimi, our friends at Give Hope Global in North Carolina, we've all been working together to begin this process of reuniting families and seeing what that looks like at Derivage, to make that a community center with social workers and a feeding program and public health, so that all of the things that the children were used to having are still going to be there. School will still be there, and their families can be supported with the infrastructure around them to help reunite this family. So it's been a long process. I hope that we have done it healthy and wisely. I feel like God has guided us every step of the way. I feel like that we have done everything by consensus as a global mission committee. And Vicky has been a part of all of that, from the early days, the child sponsorship days, to how we have continued to work with the Mongerards. And I think that that's something that she could speak to, of sitting at that table with the Mongerards and making sure that whatever happened in their community was their idea, their vision, and we were simply supporting that vision, just like we do with you, Will, and just like we do with Stephanie, and just like we do with the Olga
neighbor. But I remember asking Stephanie when we interviewed her, you know, how do you get people who are so emotionally attached to a child sponsorship model, you know, how on earth do you convince them that there might actually be a better alternative? And the fact that you all as a church have actually gone through that process during the life of this podcast, I'm not saying that it's a part of that, but to love the fact that, because I've said from the very beginning, like, I'm not on this because I have all the answers. I'm on this because I want to learn and share. And if you all are also still in this process of learning and being moldable, and I just think that's great. I think it's great that you've gone in the direction that you've gone and through the process that you're going through in the way that you're doing it, but in a way that has put a premium on having your partners in Haiti as a part of the process and redefining that relationship. And thank goodness that they had the wisdom and the maturity to see, I guess, the value in the kinds of things or the dangers that you guys were becoming aware of. So I'm sorry we've kind of gotten off track, because this is supposed to be a really exciting, uplifting episode about just how wonderful Vicky is. So can we just get back to that?
Sorry. Yeah, that was, totally. Well, where were we? We had just gotten back from Russia. And then I think your next trip was to Costa Rica to see some guy named Will.
Yeah, some guy named Will. That guy that is doing this podcast right now, you know. So the trip to Costa Rica, so my husband, Eric, had gone the year before, and I sent him off with my blessings and said, have a great time. And he came back so stoked about the work he'd done down here. I think he was working on the children's area, which is fabulous. It looks fantastic.
It's really fun.
And I was able to see that the next year in March of 2022. And going down there, I was just thinking, oh, wow, I just can't wait to see all this. And it was so exciting. We had the best time. And, you know, just being in community with the people down there, with you, Will, with you, with Yolanda, with Isabella. And, you know, your mom was there, and just all the people at Costa Rica Mission Project. Y'all are so amazing down there. You know how to really do it. You are fantastic at what you're doing. And, you know, you make everybody feel welcome. Yeah.
And then it was easy to handpick the people to come to Italy to host the retreat. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you can hear it, but it's pretty.
exceptional.
So, Vicky, how long has it been since you all found out that it would in fact be Vicky who was going to take over this position?
Several months.
So have you had much time, Vicky, to think about just sort of visioning and the things that you, of course, you want to hold on to and see kind of stay as they are, some new things that you think, you know what, now that Ashley's out of here, I can do this, or, you know what I mean? Of course, I'm sure you haven't thought about it quite that way, but I'm interested to know what your kind of hopes are for the Global Missions program at the church and the way that members of First Church Shreveport engage with us and with these different ministries.
So the way I look at it is Ashley has pretty much set us up for success. I mean, that in my opinion is a great way to look at it. I don't really know what the vision of change is just yet. I mean, that's hard to say because everything seems like it's just kind of working along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can thank Ashley for that. I don't see anything right now. I don't mm-hmm. visualize anything right now that needs to be changed. Moving forward, you know, there may be. Mm-hmm. My biggest goal is to keep the relationship strong and where they are and to abide with our global mission partners. I mean, and our global mission partners, when I say that, I don't mean that lightly because I say partners. But really, our partners are our families.
Yeah.
They are families to us, and I think we are families to you. Our church is part of your family, just like you're part of our family. And yeah. I think we know that. That's something I love about our relationships.
Ashley, if I asked you sort of the reverse question, like, yeah, I talk a lot with the volunteers that come here about, I'll mention Acts 1:8. And how that was, I mean, those were kind of arguably Jesus' very last words to the disciples. After 3.5 years of doing everything together, all the things they'd seen together and experienced together, all that kind of stuff, I'm assuming he sort of went through a process of thinking, all right, what am I going to leave them with? What are the last words that I want them to hear come out of my mouth? And it was what it was. So I'm just basically equating you to Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, what do you really hope that is going to be kind of the thing that people will remember? If you had to narrow it down to one thing, what is the thing that you want them to? And if I'm ruining your sermon that you were going to preach on your last Sunday, I'm sorry.
No, I've only sloughed it out, so I don't. I haven't.
You only sloughed it out.
No, I think that what I hope that I leave with everyone is that I hope that I've taught our congregation how to love people well, meaning that I hope that love to them equals listening, being present, and empowering the people around us so that they can truly live into the person that they were created to be.
I just think that's there's just part of what is so unique about your vision for missions and mission relationships, because I wonder how many other people who have spent their lives coordinating missions in churches, if I asked them that same question, how many of them would answer it that way? And how many of them would talk about, you know, other stuff that maybe has to do with results and productivity and I don't know, maybe not. Maybe that's not fair, but I'm not at all surprised. I actually figured you were going to say those words, love people well. Mm-hmm. I kind of assumed that was going to be your answer. And we certainly have felt well-loved by you all. And our hope and expectation is that we will continue to be in that kind of relationship with you all. And then see what doors might open to relationships in your new church. Mm-hmm. I'm excited that I get to visit Shreveport in November, and Vicky and I talked about this recently. You know, I think almost, obviously it's no secret, Ashley, how good of friends we are and how close our family is to you. And I think almost symbolically for the church to see Ashley's not here anymore, but look who's still here. And I hope that they will equate that then to all of those relationships with the other partners, you know, who are in New Zealand and Australia and Czech Republic and Romania and Haiti and Russia. It's easier maybe for us to get there than anyone else. So almost kind of on behalf of the partners, I want to come and stand in front of the church and say, we still really covet this relationship with you all and are so thankful that we are part of your church family. So,
and that's something I love about what we as a committee have created too, is that I think you can speak well for all of those people because you know them and you've spent time with yes. them. And so you know how they're feeling. And so that's right. something that makes me smile so big that you're going to be there, that Vicky will be standing up there beside you at some point, and that their relationship continues on past my tenure. So makes me very happy.
Which is as it should be. I mean, I can't tell you how many partners over the years we've had that we thought were really solid partners. And then when there's a change in pastoral leadership, we realize, no, we had a really solid partnership with that pastor or with that church leader, but it never got communicated to the church as a whole. Even though there were people coming down, it wasn't part of their identity as a church, as a whole, didn't include our ministry. It was something else. And of course, we mourn that every time it happens. And in this case, and we've just felt this all along, like we are a part of your church family. So we're excited. We're excited for Ashley. We're excited for you, Vicky. We're excited for both of your churches.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about, Vicky? What's the first thing you're going to do? Your first day in the office as the director of global missions, what's the first thing that you're, because the first thing Ashley did was emailed me and said, hey, I'm at this new church and we want to be partners with you. And then she emailed the Boons.
Right.
But she emailed me first. So we're already partners, Vicky. So you don't have to do that. You can take that off of your to-do list for your first day in the office. What do you think is the first thing you're going to do when you sit down behind that desk as the director of global missions at First Methodist Church?
Probably send y'all all a message and say, well, here I am. I mean, I'm saying everybody send a, you know, Facebook messenger to everybody and say, I'm in here. I'm in the new office. Are we ready for this run? Here we go. Well, it's very exciting. Very exciting.
I can't wait to see all of the responses to that message, because it's just going to be great for you to, I think, feel everyone's excitement and encouragement.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful thing. I mean, that's perfect. That's the first thing you're going to do is lean into those relationships.
Exactly.
With your partners.
Y'all have been so supportive of this, this upcoming transition, you know, and to know that I have your support is just such a blessing to me. I feel the love, I feel the support, I feel it all. And it just gives me, great joy, and it gives me relief. And just knowing that, you know, I know I can, y'all got me. You're going to back me up, and you've got my back. And that means a lot. And I've got your back too. You know that we're present with each other. And yeah, so that means a lot to me.
Ashley, what do you think will be the very last thing that you do before you leave your office on the last day at First Methodist Church, Shreveport?
Well,
this is the end of the last episode of Friends, like the last scene. What is this going to be?
I guess it's putting the Friends apartments, the Lego apartments, in Vicky's new office with a key and saying, I love you. We should go have coffee. Yes.
So, but yeah. I mean, how cool is that? That your last thing will be a gesture towards Vicky. Vicky's first thing will be a gesture towards all of us. Like, could this be any more healthy? Like, this is nauseating.
Could this be any healthier? Now that can we speak in Friends references for the rest of the episode?
If you want me to log out and it just be you and Vicky. Because I have no idea.
Vicky, where's your first trip going to be? Where's your first solo trip going to be?
You know, do I really want to say that, or should we all just be surprised?
You could just be surprised.
Okay.
Not that I'm leaving you any money for the rest of the year, but...
See, you know, Will and I talked about that, by the way.
Okay. Talked about,
you know, that budget.
Yeah, we were trying to make plans, and she kept saying, nope, can't do that. Ashley spent all the money.
I was trying to live up my last few months.
I think when I go to work on Monday, I'm going to run a report and see how much is left.
Well, and let's say this to you. One of the things that I'm looking forward to in my new position is being a colleague of Vicky's and serving with her, like, on the conference team for missions and being able to maybe do some workshops or retreats together. Mm-hmm. And so I think she and I both have this vision of what it looks like moving forward in partnership as local churches.
Well, you know, there are times when I sort of get frustrated and beat my head against the wall and just wonder, you know, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Are people learning anything through these experiences with us? Are people, I mean, I know they feel stuff, but is it like the right stuff? And are people's lives really being transformed and that kind of stuff? And Ashley, I know there have been moments where you have kind of wondered, like, are people getting what I'm wanting them to get? And I hope that already, since this has been announced, and between now and July, that will be affirmed for you over and over and over again, that you have done a wonderful job and have been a part of a huge transformation at that church in the way they understand what it means to be a church that is truly global. And I'm happy about that for you, because I think all of us who are in ministry, for the three of us, I know we don't do it to get accolades, but it is nice to feel like, at least from time to time, what we're doing is, you know, matters to somebody. And I'm sure you're hearing from a lot of people right now how much what you've done matters to them. And that makes me very happy.
Well, y'all are going to make me cry. That's what Nate kept trying to do while we were in Thailand. I'm going to make you cry today.
All right. Now I have a new goal for our trip to South Africa. Is make Ashley cry.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
I will not kick elephant dung at you in an attempt to make you
my
cry.
My hope is to not be in a boot by the time our trip comes around. So here's hoping.
Yeah. Hope so. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, it's been wonderful to spend this evening with you both. I'm so thankful that my family gets to be in relationship with both of you, and just can't wait to see what's next. Can't wait to see you, Ashley, in 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks from today is when we start our journey. And Vicky, I'll see you in November.
Yes.
All right. Ashley, would you please go find out if everything is falling off the walls?
Every picture that I hung earlier today.
And you hung like 30 pictures, so this really could be a disaster.
It could be. It really could be. We will find
out. Let us know. Yeah. All right.
It's good to be back with you, Will. I have missed you.
Yeah, you too, Ashley. See you soon. Bye, Vicky.
Bye, Vicky.
Bye.
Bye, Will.
You've been listening to The Broken Banquet, a podcast by Will Bailey and Ashley Goad. Music provided by Irene and the Sleepers. Join us next week for another episode. He's prepared the table. All things are ready. Come to the feast.